All right, welcome in the latest episode of that SEC podcast sponsored by Twisted Tea and my bookie. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. I go by SEC Mike on Twitter. I'm joined sometimes by cousin Shane, who goes by Big Orange Balls on Twitter. What's up, yo, Tennessee Homer?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Oh, doing great, buddy. It's good to have you. Thank you for showing up this time, but no hard feelings. You're a working man.
Yeah, I got bills to pay, man.
Yeah.
Now that, I finally broke the streak, barely, by half a point. Thank God. Thank God. I was thinking of Arnett, figuring out this vertical game. I'm like, whoa, what's he doing, you know? They can throw down the field, you know? So, but it was close. That was a hell of a game, hell of a matchup. And I'm not going to lie, the entire time I was like, I'm cursed, you know. I had that vibe, you know. So unusual having money go back into the account. So this was awesome, awesome weekend. My Vols won. A lot of great football games, man. I was glued to the TV. I had the quad box going, you know, last night, and I don't know how. Like, it was stressing me out, you know, because I'm glued to, like, Arkansas game. And then all of a sudden, look down, and I'm like, what the hell is Memphis doing getting back into this thing? You know, it's like, it was back and forth. But it was an awesome, awesome Saturday, man.
Yeah. Well, Danny wants to know, Shane, Mickey D's, was the pumpkin pie as good as the blueberry?
pumpkin pie, I'm not a fan of the, you know, I've tried every... I don't know if you guys knew this, but I've got a little bit of an eating disorder, and I love all the pies at McDonald's except for apple and pumpkin. I can't get behind it for some reason. I've tried them all, but no, I'm trying to steer clear, trying to cut some LBs, trying to be healthy.
Yeah, you're doing good.
You know, I figured if I'm going to walk 13 damn miles, I might as well try to eat a little better this week. So I was able to do that, drink a few less beers this weekend, and start off on the right. So no pies for me, man.
Well, I think this is the first time this season, Shane, where we've not had to do some humiliating bet.
It's nice.
Because... Alabama, of course, carried the day, so that's why I'm not. I mean, I look pretty bad with this mustache, but it could be worse. Could be a pencil stash. Could have this black junk all over me. So we got one cooked up.
Yeah,
I don't want to give it away, but I'll just tease it for next weekend. Guaranteed, one of us will be doing something because we've already come up with an idea. It's going to be Cousin Shane versus me. So somebody has to lose. So keep posted all that. But, hey, let's get into the action, Shane. We've got a bunch of games here. And I don't know where you want to start, Shane. I mean, there was so much hype with that Alabama-Ole Miss game, but that was a little bit of a dud. So I would much rather start with the game that I had a feeling was going to be the game of the weekend, and it was. LSU beat Arkansas 34-31.
Yeah.
Back-and-forth ball game. These quarterbacks are like Dennis Green. They are who we thought they were, Shane. I mean, they were high-flying. Yes, they took advantage of the defenses, for sure. But Jane Daniels, 20 of 29, 320 yards, 4 touchdowns. KJ, 21 of 31, 289 yards, 3 touchdowns, 2 picks. And if not for penalties, once again, you know, failing to convert in the red zone. Arkansas, I mean, you know, we don't really believe in moral victories, but after losing to BYU, that 17.5-point spread, a lot of people thought Arkansas was just going to get their ass kicked. They're terrible. And, again, you lost the game. That's all that really matters. But if you're a Razorback fan, I think you got to be much more optimistic than before.
Mm-hmm.
And LSU, man, you're firing on all cylinders. Got some issues on defense, clearly, but I think that says more about KJ and everything they got going at Arkansas. Very underrated offense. But big win for LSU. They keep the momentum going, and now Arkansas's, again, they go into this tough, tough stretch. They desperately need a win. They didn't get it Saturday night.
Yeah, and I mean, for a Saturday that started off with some rocky quarterback play, it was kind of a breath of fresh air watching these two guys duke it out, you know? It's like truly talented guys. Obviously, there were some mistakes, there were some interceptions thrown, but there was some passes during this game that were pivotal, man.
Yep.
I'm talking like game on the line situation. KJ coming out couldn't, like you thought he was going to get sacked. Next thing you know, he's throwing a dime down the field. Same thing with LSU back of the end zone. You know, you name it. It was just fantastic quarterback play. Both these guys are going to shine in the NFL. But it was almost like Arkansas just needed three more minutes or something. You know, it felt like LSU was comfortable with their lead, but Arkansas just kept chipping away, hanging in there the entire time.
Yeah,
it was a battle back and forth, and I knew it was going to be close. I think I had this one 28-27.
Yeah, on to Morristown.
Absolutely. I did not know who was going to win it, but the Golden Boot is staying in LSU.
Hey, Bo wants to know, Shane, how was dinner?
Dinner?
I told him your thing.
You know what I had? A little personal pizza thing, you know? Okay. So 500 calories. Yeah, I'm counting, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
You watch out. I'm going to be in. Got Cole Kublik here in a minute. You know?
But how about this, Shane? Because, again, 11 penalties for Arkansas. That killed them. LSU first three drives. Punt, interception, punt. And I was thinking, by God, I think the Razorbacks are going to take this one. Then LSU went field goal, touchdown, 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 field goal. And the one that really killed them, right before half, they went 75 yards, three plays, up and down the field. Malik Nabers, my God, he's on fire. Eight catches, 130 yards, two touchdowns. But Brian Thomas, he had his best day of the entire season. I thought five catches, 133 yards, two touchdowns. So when you got these two going, LSU may not be beaten. Of course, Arkansas's got one hell of a freshman tight end. Luke Hawes, catches, 116, and two touchdowns. I think he's going to be freshman All-American. He's playing that good. Arkansas cleaned it up on third down, 8-13. But again, lack of execution in the red zone, Shane. They even faked a field goal, got it. And then a couple plays later, Scott stopped, had to kick field goal.
Yeah.
I mean, when things like that happen, I mean, when you fake a field goal and get it, usually that gives you so much momentum. You push that damn ball right into the end zone. But
I think that didn't happen. I think that was the thing, was Arkansas had opportunities to win this game. But didn't we say that against BYU, you know? Haven't we said this for a couple of years with Arkansas in these close games?
Yeah.
That if this would have went this way or that would have went that way, we would be talking about a different narrative on Sunday. So it's got to be frustrating, you know? Being an Arkansas fan has just got to be frustrating because you've had a lot of close moments.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought this would be the year that gap stops, that we stop having these close games and we win the ones we're expected to win and maybe catch a few of these teams like LSU and sneak a victory. That's what we thought we were going to see this season, but it's almost like it's the same story.
Yeah.
And shout out to LSU. There for a moment, I thought this was the seesaw team of last year, you know. But when they got their backs against the wall, they bowed up. I think the prime example is that fake field goal.
Yeah.
You know, getting that in the red zone, you got to walk away with points if you're Arkansas, but as an LSU guy, I think you're tickled pink that you were able to stop them. So that's the team we've got this year. We got a bunch of headhunters over there.
Now let me ask you this, though. Does it concern you at all that Arkansas basically threw everything out there, gave it everything they have? I wouldn't say a must win, but it would have been a win that kind of turned around their season, would have got everybody fired up. But you have one of these games, and then you lose it at the very end. Hard-fought game. Any chance, it's kind of like, that's such a gut punch heading into A&M.
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking at these fans. I mean, they're optimistic against A&M.
Yeah.
Of course, A&M's optimistic going against them, and they usually do beat Arkansas. So, I don't know. Any concern that after dropping a game like this, that it kind of, just all the momentum that you gained here is lost because you ultimately came up short.
It's a great question. I think you got opportunities though. You're looking at Ole Miss, doesn't look as good as we thought. Alabama's not as good as we thought.
Right.
You know, there's Florida. There's opportunities that Arkansas is going to have to win us back. You know, that old saying, nobody remembers what you do in September. That's the trophy they need to hang up in the locker room by the jukebox, Mike, is that, hey, there can be brighter days ahead if we let it. This is a senior-led program.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think that this is a program that's going to tuck tail and run. Arkansas is going to surprise a few people. You've seen it. There's flashes of it. It's just they've not put a complete game together in the last 2 weeks. And if they did, they'd be undefeated right now, Mike.
Yeah. And credit to LSU for, you know, slow start.
Yeah.
But turning it on. A lot of teams kind of, they just can't get it going. When they get it going,
buddy,
they're tough.
Yeah,
I mean they look like the top contender in the West.
They're the number one in the West, and I think that's what you got to remember if you're an Arkansas fan, is that you went toe to toe with the best team in the West. It ain't Alabama.
Not going to have a tougher game this season.
Absolutely not. This defense against Alabama, and we're going to get to that game here in a minute. Arkansas can pin their ears back and sit in that backfield, and as long as their quarterback can't run, they're going to have an opportunity to win it. And now they'll have a quarterback that can, like you said, emerging talent all over there. So I'm not panicking if I'm an Arkansas fan, but I am disappointed because, again, you're doing exactly what every fan does after a loss. You're replaying it over and over, and you're seeing opportunities missed.
Right.
And LSU just capitalized. And that's what makes, say what you want, man, at the end of the day, that's what makes championship teams, is not buckling under the pressure, bouncing back. You're going to make mistakes, but correcting them throughout the game. LSU is the team to watch.
And Shane, again, we got a call in line.
Yeah.
We don't have as many calls this week, but we do have a frustrated Arkansas fan after that game. So anybody want to be featured on the show, give us a call, 615-965-5152. Here's a frustrated hog.
Guys, I'm just really confused. I don't understand it. As an Arkansas fan, it doesn't make any sense. We got 25 penalties in the past two games. We play down to our competition and up to our competition, and yet we still can't win more than 6-7 games. I don't think firing Sam is the answer, but I think it's beyond frustrating for the whole fan base. Everybody's losing their mind about firing a coach. You can even hear the sirens in the background here. They're coming to get Sam at the hospital. But I'm telling you, man, it's a frustration that I don't understand if many other fan bases can relate to, except like maybe Tennessee. Tennessee and Arkansas have similar coaching problems historically. So if you guys maybe don't want to fire our coach, I don't know what the answer is, but you know, it's just getting rough out here. A&M, we're gonna go out and do the same thing we did with LSU this week. We'll probably lose by 3. Ole Miss, we'll probably lose by about 4. So then we're 2-4 going to Bama, and Bama looks horrible, but still probably gonna lose. And we're still gonna be with our coach because he's tearing up the recruiting trail. But everybody wants to run him out of town. I don't understand it. Help me.
Well, one thing, and this is the point I made, Shane, when I hopped on earlier. You got to remember what he took over.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not trying to make excuses, but this can be an incredibly difficult job. Mm-hmm. And Sam Pittman has raised the level of expectations at Arkansas. And that's why fans like this are mad. That we just lost on the road to LSU, a game they could have won.
Yeah.
But they sure as hell wouldn't have come close, you know, under several of the coaches they've had. You know what I mean? So
right.
I think you got to put that into perspective. I don't think we can be running coaches off because we lose to a top 10 team on the road at night by 3 points. I mean, that's kind of crazy. Where he's really got to clean stuff up is losing to BYU at home, mm-hmm. losing to Liberty at home. We can't have those, but I feel like if he steals a game here or there, of course, they didn't steal this one, but I don't know. I mean, that's the real issue.
Again, win the games you're expected to win. That's as simple as it needs to be right now in Arkansas. And there are several games left on this schedule that you're going to be expected to win. And there's going to be a few that you're going to be a score, you know, down. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You're going in down 7 points or down maybe 8-9 points.
Right.
You need one or two of those. Sam needs it. This fan base needs it. And to kind of cement what we're trying to do there in Arkansas, because if we don't get it, if we get to the end of this year, Mike, and we still are dropping games we're supposed to win or we're not pulling off any upsets, then, yeah, maybe we panic. I don't think we lose Sam. I think he's a great hire, and what he's been able to bring to that with the staff. I mean, you got to remember, we got new coordinators and everything like that. There was going to be some growing pains this year.
Right.
But you know, now's the time, man, and I love Pittman. I'd love to hang out with him, and I'd love to be talking about him 10, 15 years from now, but – you know, eventually you're going to have to ask the tough questions, you know, and right. I think he gets that. I think he knows.
Well, I'll tell you who doesn't know, Shane, and that's old Lane Whiffen. We got a call. This is the best one. We'll get to it in a minute. But Alabama takes down Ole Miss 24-10. I mean, what's funny, Shane, is I'm seeing so many people like, oh, what the Dynasty was the game.
Yeah.
They just beat Ole Miss, who can't run the ball, and it's not beating anybody impressive. But I've been saying, Shay, this was not a good Ole Miss team.
No.
And I don't understand. I mean, I get it. You get hyped about your team. But, I mean, Georgia Tech, that was a battle.
Yeah.
Tulane was a battle without their quarterback. Yeah. All this talk of them winning the West, I thought was crazy.
Yeah.
But we went along with it until we saw them against a quality opponent. And Alabama's no better.
No.
They just made fewer mistakes. They got better in the fourth quarter, but
their defense is good, though.
Their defense, and that's what I thought would be the difference.
Yeah.
Ole Miss can't run the ball, and it exposes the whole thing, and Lane Kiffin is running out of goodwill after all last season flirting with Auburn and all that BS. They gave him all this money. Then they give him all this money for NIL. And that the reporter came out, Shane, that had that planted question about Kevin Steele. And he said it. Yeah, he said, they asked me to ask that and all this. So that's public record now, just like we said. But, I mean, this is ridiculous, Shane. I mean, to not be competitive with this Alabama team, with Jalen Milroe throwing one of the worst picks you ever see. Yeah. Alabama, Shane, took over at one point in this game. They blocked a punt. They took over at the one.
Yeah.
Three plays later, they're at the 20.
Right.
With no penalties.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is not a good team.
No.
Neither one of these teams is good. And the fact that Ole Miss lost by 2 touchdowns, I think it's coaching malpractice. And I think Lane Kiffin is doing a horrible job this year. What's your thoughts?
Well, I mean, again, there were some moments in this one. I mean, Ole Miss had opportunities to steal points. I mean, I remember that. There was one in particular incompletion, wide open. Ole Miss had opportunities to put some points on the board, but kudos to Bama just bringing it. You know, I don't know who's coaching defense, but by God, they were bringing it. Yeah. And, you know, the problem I have with Lane Kiffin is it almost like he gave them bulletin board material. Alabama's already down. They struggled against you know Southern Florida.
Right.
They lost to Texas. Don't add fuel to the fire. Let them be the spotlight in their own right of the bad play that they've had up to this point. But you gave this defense some. I mean, you saw them celebrating after the game. You know what I'm saying? These guys. This was a big win for them because of all the shit that Lane Kiffin put them through this week. So I totally get it. I get why Ole Miss fans are out and they're upset.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the big game Lane, he just ain't getting it done. And I don't know. I am kudos to Alabama for winning this game, but I am.
They had to win it. Must win.
Had to win. But I'm still worried about them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I was like, what happens when he can't run? He goes against a defense that's not going to allow him to get outside the pockets and force him to throw the ball. There was flashes of it, but that was the only time we saw flashes of it is when, again, they load. I don't know. I'm worried about both teams moving forward.
Right. Yeah, and I love to reference the red zone, Shane. Ole Miss went to the red zone 4 times Came away with 10 points. That's awful.
Can't do it.
Bama, 5 red zone trips, 16 points. A little better, but
yeah,
not really.
The fumble. Oh, my gosh. That was like if Alabama lost that game from,
yeah,
from a block punt to the 2-yard line and then shotgun fumble, I was like, God, you know, just pack his bags. He's out of there.
But. Yeah. I mean, at what point are we? We're probably past the point, Shane, but Jenkins, 13 carries, 56 yards. They ran for 88 yards. Alabama ran for 160. That was the difference. Because late in the game, they were just leaning on them.
Yeah.
They ran out of gas because their offense was awful, which is, that's Kiffin's baby. But at what point are we hitting the panic button with Ole Miss running the ball? We're a month into the season, and they can't run the ball.
Well, I wanted them to advance. Like, if they were going to win this game, they needed to stop running because it felt like we were just wasting plays, wasting opportunities. Clearly, their best shot was letting Jackson try to get something downfield, and if not, maybe making something with his legs. But this offensive line gave them no help up front. There's no room. Every time Jenkins had the ball, he's getting hit in the backfield. He's trying to go sideline to sideline. That's not who he is.
Right.
If he can't get between the tackles, there's no way that this offense is going to be even close to what it was last year. So it's too late to go back to the drawing board, but sometimes you're going to have to play to your strengths. And I think, obviously, coming away from this game, we know that it is not the running game.
Right. Well, let's get over to one of the callers. This is great. Lane Wiffen. I love this nickname. Let's kick it over to him.
Hey, Cousin Shane. This is Hullabaloo up in Nebraska. You follow me on Twitter, I follow you. And I just got to say, I'm completely disappointed in what happened with Ole Miss today versus Alabama. This was a game that was easily winnable for the Rebels, and they completely shot themselves in the foot. And I think it's time that we all take a look at Lane Kiffin, or maybe we should call him Lane Wiffen, because he's been whiffing on all the big games lately. Started last year with LSU, and they had a good first half, fell apart in the second. Season fell apart after that. Same thing could happen this year, because Mississippi, they have a great quarterback room. They got the best running back in the SEC, but they just cannot seem to do it in the big games. Why? I think it's pretty clear. Lane hasn't grown up yet. We all know it. I'm going to say it. Guy's too focused on his social media, his cute dog, and memes and all kinds of other weird stuff, and his team is just simply not prepared. Today, Alabama was fighting for their lives. They were right for the taking. First half, hey, you take it. Go into the second half, you completely fall apart. This falls on the coach. So I say it's time for Lane to grow up. Otherwise, we're just going to keep calling him Lane Whiffen because that's all he's going to do. Anyways, Cousin Shane, Michael, thank you for the time. Hullabaloo up here in Nebraska. Y'all have a good day.
Oh, Lane Whiffen. I love that. And you know, one other thing, Shane, that we didn't talk about, but on Saturday it was, he was on SEC Network live.
Yeah.
And he said, well, you know, this might be the last time we face him. You know, even then he was trolling him.
Yeah.
And you know that got back to Alabama.
Yeah.
And you know that got back to the players. But it goes to your point, like, it's one thing to say that and go out and whoop their ass. It's another to say that and get your ass whooped.
Well,
and that's
did.
What's happening.
He tweeted out after the game, like, the same deal, you know? Like, can't believe it's coming to an end or some bullshit like that. And it's like, what are we doing, man? You know, I can't stand that. Can't stand talking about how good another team is. You know, you could have beat this team. You could have beat Alabama. This was the year. That was the thing. And I think that's why Ole Miss fans are upset, because this was an Alabama team that their program, there's going to be some programs beat them this year, and they're going to be like Tennessee and smoking them cigars and talk about the good old days. And because we don't know how often they're going to come around, you have an opportunity and you blew it. And I don't care where it was, Tuscaloosa, Nick Saban's lake house. It doesn't matter. You should have been able to win this game. And all of it goes back to the head coach. There was some shitty calls, shitty plays, and it resulted in a loss. So, unfortunately, yep. Lane, this one's on you, man.
Yep. All right. How about this one, Shane? I think we kind of found out about one of these teams, unfortunately for their fans. But A&M wins 27-10 over Auburn. And really, I mean, this was a weird one, Shane. Yeah. This was a little bit what I was worried about. A&M not coming out hot, letting Auburn linger around. And they did that. But they took care of business
because
they dominated the line of scrimmage. And Auburn's quarterbacks were awful. Let's just call it what it is. I mean, they couldn't complete terrible, anything. Peyton Thorne, 6 of 12 for 44 yards. Robbie Ashford, 1 for 4 for 4 yards. But A&M wasn't hitting those passes either. Connor Wigman, this was his rough performance of the season. 8 of 14 for 70 yards. And then he got hurt, unfortunately. Insert Max Johnson. He was great. 7 of 11, 123 yards, 2 touchdowns. Including that big touchdown to Evan Stewart. His first touchdown was his brother, Jake. Great performance by him. But, again, I think we found out a little bit. And this is what, you know, Hugh Freeze was worried about, I think. Just not anywhere close to this talent level. Going on the road. They got Georgia at home next week. That's going to be tough.
Yeah.
But this is something I talked about when I was going solo here. Could this be a problem, perhaps, that Max Johnson came out here and played so well because Connor played so well? Now Max is playing well. How healthy is Connor? I don't know. Maybe, you know, I hope he's fine. I don't know. But imagine if Jimbo likes one and Bobby Petrino likes the other or the locker room. I mean, this can go many different ways. And, again, it's good to have two quarterbacks until there's division. So could this at all be an issue?
Well, we gave Jimbo a hard time, you know, at the start of the season for quote-unquote quarterback controversy, and maybe we had it, you know, because anybody that watched this game, you know, Auburn was playing keep away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, say what you want. That's Hugh wanted to shorten this game.
Yep.
Kudos to the running game. I mean, they were going. Was it Beatty and Hunter? I mean, they both had pretty productive games here.
Yeah.
But you didn't have anything, any splash plays with the quarterback. I mean, I have never seen quarterback play so bad in my life, and that kind of surprises me coming from a Hugh Freeze offense. But it is just, I mean, it's horrible. Yeah. Like, I'm thinking of all the guys that left, like Finley, could he came back, you know? You know, just anybody can the kicker throw or something, you know? Maybe just start punting on third downs. I don't know. But the offense has no life. The defense is pretty good. They're scrappy.
Yeah.
They're scrappy. And
they were keeping them in it.
Yeah. They did the best they could. And honestly, they made Texas A&M's offense this high-flying offense last week. We got it figured out. They made them look like shit. And it was Max that gave them the little spark, and that's all this game needed. But that could have went the other way. Auburn could have had the spark maybe when Robbie came in or something, but couldn't get anything going on that side of the ball. So kudos to A&M finally figuring it out. And, yeah, is there possible quarterback controversy? Maybe. I still think it's Connor's job because he's not done anything to lose it. I mean, he had a bad first half. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But he's been remarkable, and I think that's your future, okay? And nothing against Max or his brother or Big Bad Brad, you know. I think there are better days ahead for them, but that's where A&M's at right now. They've got a tough quarterback room, and I just don't know how serious this injury is because a lot of people are talking about he was in some serious pain going to the locker room. So this may be something that you definitely don't want to put a banged-up Connor out there when you've got a Max Johnson back there.
Yeah. And we found out on Saturday, Shane, Jimbo, he really is the 12th man. Everybody missed it. I don't know how you did, but on the field, I don't know what the hell he was doing there, but he could have made a tackle. That was Auburn's only touchdown was a scoop and score that Jimbo was out on the field all day.
Well, it's so funny because I watched it, and then I didn't catch it till the replay.
Mm-hmm.
When the replay came up, I was like, was that Jimbo on the field, you know? Yeah, I've never seen anything like it. That video and the picture are definitely floating around. But again, you know, Auburn, it was their defense. They tried their damnedest to make this a game. But if you're an Auburn fan, I think you're pretty happy. I mean, no one's happy with the loss. But you got to feel it that you're going to catch somebody. Yeah. You just need the right week, and you got to get one of these quarterbacks moving, because if not, if it ain't Thorne, get him off the field. Let's just get Robbie out there. Let's get his
reps. It's very confusing what they're doing with the quarterbacks.
I don't know. I don't get it. I would have brought Robbie in earlier because Thorne was clearly struggling.
Yeah.
You know, when they could have used a spark, even if it's just with his legs. But, well, we just never
got
him.
They even brought in the third string, and he let him in passing. So it's like, oh, God, we got another one? You know what I mean? So, but you're right. I mean, I think this goes to show you that you're just so far away.
Yeah.
But they were fighting.
Yeah.
And they kept them in the game, at least the defense did. But also credit A&M, Shane, because I think in years past, when A&M's underachieved, this is a game they lose.
Yep.
This is a game where, you know, one thing goes wrong and then it snowballs. Mm-hmm. And so the defense, which, you know, was awful against Miami, and that lost them a game. 7 sacks, 15 tackles for loss.
They lived in the backfield.
That's a credit to A&M and their defense. And how about Auburn? 11 drives, Shade, 1 field goal.
Yeah.
5-3 and outs. I mean, they were just completely ineffective. So, that's a credit to A&M's defense, I think.
Yeah. Respect to the fans that made it out there. It was that first half, oh, my God. I'd be demanding a refund, you know, because it was terrible football. But it was Hugh football. I said, it's what he's going to do. Hugh's going to do what's best for this program. Mm-hmm. It's going to look totally different 2 years from now. Get a couple of recruiting classes. Auburn's going to be in good shape and an absolute force moving forward. They're 3-1, man.
Ken is, he says, my son's an Auburn fan. He ain't happy. So they're not all happy. All right. How about another SEC showdown, Shane? This was a fun, entertaining game. I thought it would be. And thank God it saved your ass, Shane, on these locks. Because South Carolina, 37. Mississippi State, 30. Back and forth. And my God, was I wrong about Spencer. He was red hot, Shane.
Damn.
18 of 20, 288 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. Leggett, he's on fire. 5 catches, 189, 2 touchdowns. But you can say nice things about the offense. The defense, Will Rogers finally got going. It looked like air raid Will Rogers. 30 of 48 for 487 passing yards, touchdown, and a pick. To Lou Griffin, he set the all-time Mississippi State record, Shane. 256 receiving yards in this game. What'd you make of this back-and-forth affair here?
Well, and like I said, it was really, really close. I thought there was another one. I thought I was cursed. This is another one. Mississippi State is going to find a way to win. And it was just a great game. Like you said, Spencer, I mean, there was one moment. I think he was like 12 of 12 or something like that. Like the first incompletion, the DB held the wide receiver. You know, they literally
and
almost.
And one drop.
Yeah. So, I mean, talk about perfect. 3 touchdowns. I mean, 40 yards rushing. Spencer had a day.
Yeah.
But we've been saying that week after week after week. It's not a fluke. The guy's just freaking good. And the problem is, you know, you sent out a tweet the other day about 2 superstars and an average football team.
Yeah.
I think they got a few more than that, but that's kind of where we're at with South Carolina. As soon as one of those guys don't perform, it's going to get ugly. You know, so I don't want to not have the parade yet, because South Carolina is definitely taking the steps forward. You're seeing people emerge. Leggett, nobody was talking about Leggett week one.
Right. It was all Juice Wells.
That's it. Juice is the best. I was one of them. You know, I was talking heads. Nobody was talking about it. But now, look, he's starting to shine. And so there's going to be pieces of like that emerge on this team by the end of the season. So there's still some stars there. But Mississippi State, I think if you're a fan of the Bulldogs, you're like, where has this been?
You know?
We should have been doing this week one. Will Rogers didn't just become a good quarterback. Will Rogers has always been a good quarterback, but this OC and this team has not given him the opportunity to do it, and clearly it can be done. Almost 500 yards passing. This is Will Rogers. This is the quarterback we were expecting. And it almost went to Columbia and pulled off an upset. So I think there's a lot to learn from both of these. I think if you're a South Carolina fan, you're glad Mississippi State opened up, because guess what? You got Tennessee next week, and they love to throw it deep. Shane Beamer, we'll probably play that clip tomorrow. You know, he was quick to remind everybody that the team coming in likes to throw as well. So, but Mississippi State, I think if you're looking at this program, there's some things they're going to also have to fix, especially on defense, getting off the field on third downs, you know, just finding some sort of balance to kind of help Will Rogers. But I don't know. I think this – I was all doom and gloom on the Bulldogs last week. Like, I saw no silver lining. I saw no light at the end of the tunnel. I saw a little light on Saturday. I saw just a little flicker of a program that still can make some noise in the SEC.
Yeah, and I know – I mean, we're going to be talking about it all week, but I know you are nervous with them Gamecocks coming in to Neyland Stadium Saturday night. That's going to be quite the showdown. This is one the fans have been looking forward to since that dreaded last season, October game, whatever it was. But and remember, they don't play in next season either. Yeah. So that adds a little to it, but
as a Vol fan, which we're going to get to them, it's like this defense of ours cannot get off the field on third downs. Well, there's not a better third down quarterback out there than Spencer Rattler. I think part of the reason, if you're watching both these programs, I think that's the key. Like, people just looking at box scores think Tennessee, we're back, baby. We scored all these points, which we did. There was that first half. And again, I'm moving forward, but this game is got a lot riding on it. We're talking about who's the second best team in the East. Those games are getting decided here in the next 2 to 3 weeks, and there's going to be the separation. Florida took the first stab, you know, they beat Tennessee, but Tennessee could bounce back, beat South Carolina. I mean, they can end up, you know, kind of just beating each other up, but that's what the East is going to look like this year.
Yeah, and credit Carolina. They did get the ground game going. Yeah. I think that was why they won this football game. As much as we make it about Spencer and Leggett, they had some balance there. 168 rushing yards, that sack adjusted to Mississippi State, only 53.
Yeah.
And I thought the key to Mississippi State was going to be them running the ball, but they just aired it out and they got it done. This was a big win because it was a must win. They were not going to have a great season if they lost to Mississippi State. I still don't know how good Mississippi State is, so I'm not over the moon that they won this game. But no one cares. No one cares who you beat. If it was ugly. Not that it was ugly, but no one cares. It's just, do you win? You move on to the next one.
Right.
You stay alive. And South Carolina stayed alive. Unfortunately, Mississippi State for them did not.
Well, too, the stupid turnovers.
Yeah.
Like, just dumb ones. If Mississippi State didn't have the, you know, some of those dumb mistakes, they may have won this game.
Right.
What a big game that would have been for Arnett. But ifs and buts for candies and nuts, Mike, we'd all have a wonderful Christmas.
How about this? He just asked a great question. Can Rattler be this perfect or near perfect, though, all year? And if he's not, again, if I'm right, it's just a couple. Again, and that is a disservice. But I mean, we can't be. I'm not writing a novel on Twitter. I'm throwing out 100 characters, right? But it seems to me they got a couple stars, and then everybody else is basically average. If one of those stars doesn't show up, I think they're in trouble.
Yeah,
because I don't know what else they have to lean on. What is that fair?
No, that's exactly right. If Leggett goes down. Or if he's
not
covered.
Even go down, yeah. But just let's just say he gets locked down. Yeah,
locked down, and Trey Knox doesn't do anything, or hell, they just, you know, don't give Spencer the opportunity to dink and dunk. You know, I mean, that's another thing. Is he's very efficient, but not too often is he required to stretch the field, even though he can,
yeah,
fully capable. But then on the other side, it's you're looking at sample size. Okay, well, North Carolina, well, we don't know what they are. Maybe they suck, you know? Mm-hmm. Maybe Furman sucks. Maybe Mississippi State sucks. But Georgia's on that list, and they gave Georgia a run for their money, and we're going to get to them here in a minute. This isn't 2 years ago, Georgia, you know, this is a team that's going through its own thing, but still a very, very active defense and secondary, and one of the greatest defensive minds at all time with Kirby Smart, and he had a tough time, you know, getting Rattler under control. So, yeah, I don't know, but more tape gets out there. I keep saying that, but we're going 5 weeks in, and I don't know if you could slow him down right now.
Right. No, I mean, I hear you. But, Shane, before we go on, let the audience know we're brought to you by MyBookie. Head on over to MyBookie.ag today. And guess who went 1-0? We were perfect on our MyBookie Locks of the Week this weekend. So hopefully y'all didn't jump on and decide this is the week to fade Shane. Get back to that next week. But head on over to MyBookie.ag today. That's the number one way to help the podcast grow, stay independent. Use that promo code THAT. SEC, THATSEC, that is in the show notes. If you're listening to the audio version, there's a link and everything. Take you right to MyBookie. And with that promo, they'll give you an instant 50% instant deposit bonus. And we figured it out last week. Had you faded Shane every week, started with 200 and just doubled down up until this point. What was it, 30?
$38,000. Could you imagine losing $38,000 because of South Carolina? Maybe don't put it all on there now, because I'm back, baby. 1-0.
We're also brought to you by Prize Picks, Shane. Head on over to Prize Picks. I got 3 out of 4 last week. That's a winner. That gets you paid.
That pays.
We love Prize Picks, daily fantasy sports. They got the college football. We give out the picks every Friday. I'm red hot. NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball. They got all the sports over at Prize Picks. Promo code SEC will get you an instant $100, a match, your initial deposit up to $100 over at Prize Picks. So head on over to Prize Picks, promo code SEC. There's a link to that as well. And we got a new sponsor, Shane, Rogue Shop. Went over to the Orange Bloods. I've been doing those interviews with Anwar,
yeah,
who was on our show. This is a sponsor of theirs, Rogue Shop. Cannot recommend it enough. This is veteran-owned, small business, CBD, and THC. Delta 9, Shane, it's legal now. This is 100% legal. This is American-made, and a promo SEC over at RogueShop.com will get you 25%, excuse me, off your entire order this week only. After this week, it's 10% over at RogueShop.com. There's a link to this as well. Free shipping on any order over $100 over at Rogue Shop. Chronic pain, you got sleep issues, anxiety. Shane, I rolled my ankle. Mm-hmm. I went to the park over here, rolled my ankle. It was hurting. They hooked me up. I didn't even know I had an ankle after I took one of these gummies here from Rogue Shop. So head on over to RogueShop.com. Again, that promo code SEC gets you 25% off your entire order. Help small business, veteran-owned. Help us and help the podcast by heading over to RogueShop.com. Are you ready to elevate your college football game day experience? Check out Twisted Tea, your go-to game beverage for college football fans. Twisted Tea is unlike any hard beverage you've had before. It's made with real brewed tea and packs a flavorful punch, 5% alcohol, and no carbonation, delivering the perfect balance of taste and refreshment that goes down smooth for every game day occasion. No need to settle for the usual. Twisted Tea turns up any occasion, especially when you're cheering on your favorite SEC team. Twisted Tea, the drink that fuels fun and celebrates your love of college football. Keep it twisted. Podcast is also brought to you by Game Time. Head on over to gametime.co and use promo code THATSEC, THATSEC, for $20 off your first purchase. Buying tickets to your favorite events shouldn't be stressful. Game Time is a fast and easy way to buy tickets for all sports, music, comedy, and theater near you. Game Time is the place for the last minute ticket sales. Forget planning months in advance. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the day of the event. Head on over to gametime.co. Snag tickets without the stress. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code THATSEC for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem THATSEC for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. All right, Shane, SEC play continues. Kentucky beats Vanderbilt 45-28. And, man, this was, Kentucky jumped on them.
Yeah.
And then they went to sleep or something, because I guess they went to Broadway the night before and had a big one. But, again, I'm worried about Kentucky, Shane, even though this is, again, it's a win's a win. But Vanderbilt's looked awful.
Mm-hmm.
Both these quarterbacks, I don't want to say awful, but they made major mistakes in this ballgame. Leary had two picks. A.J. Swan had three picks, including two pick sixes.
Yeah.
Three turnovers of Vanderbilt's resulted in 21 points. That's the ballgame right
there. Yeah.
If you can eliminate these mistakes. So, I don't know. What's your thoughts? I'm worried about Kentucky. I really am. They're undefeated. They're getting their first test. Florida's coming to town. We'll talk about that game all week, but I'm a little worried about Kentucky. Where are you at?
So we have three undefeated teams, right, in the SEC?
Yep.
Georgia, Mizzou, and Kentucky. If you were to rank your, I guess, your level of confidence moving forward in completion of this SEC gauntlet,
mm-hmm.
Who would you put? Not like power rank, but kind of like power rank. How would you rank those three?
Mizzou?
Over Georgia?
I've been doing that for you. But yeah, I think you gotta you obviously gotta give it to Georgia.
Yeah.
They get Mizzou at home. They get Kentucky at home.
Yeah.
I don't know how they got everybody at home. But Georgia, Mizzou, and then a country mile. It's Kentucky.
Oh wow. Okay, so country mile. Well, no surprise there. Mike hates Kentucky.
I hate everybody.
I know. You've been sitting over here like a grumpy old man, yelling at people to get off your lawn.
I mean, am I wrong, though? I mean,
I think, obviously, the old saying, win's a win, whatever. But I am very – let's say this. I'm excited about the defense. You know, because defense is important in this league.
Right.
You know, Kentucky's defense is really good, and they're going to keep them in just about all the ball games that they face moving forward.
Right.
Problem is, we're 4 weeks in.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying we haven't discovered an identity here, but it's like we're almost force feeding it. Like, why is Ray Davis not doing this? Why is Leary not able to do this? Well, let's keep at it, you know. Let's don't mix it up. And I'm not saying this is on Cohen. I'm not saying this is on Mark. But somebody's got to take a long look at themselves and say, what we're doing is not working. And it's worked up to this point. But we got to think outside the box, you know. I mean, that's where we're at with Kentucky. And this offensive line is very bad. I'm saying what it is. This Kentucky offensive line is going to cost them games, especially if you're leaning on the run as hard as they are.
Right. Well, again, now this all goes away if you beat Florida.
Yeah.
At home, they unfortunately caught a bad break because it's an early game.
Right.
So maybe I'm just overreacting here, but again, Vanderbilt.
I mean, they
for all their 45, mistakes.
28. I mean,
yeah, but they piled some of that on late.
I know.
I mean, and they just went to sleep, Shane. I mean, this is the ugliest 45-28 you'll ever see in your life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, I guess a team that's giving you multiple turnovers that's resulting in 21 points. I don't know. I'm just maybe I just don't know how to grade Kentucky right now because I don't. And we won't know till Saturday. And when I did that earlier one, I mean, all the Kentucky people said, we're going to kick Florida's ass.
Yeah.
And every Florida person here said, we're going to whoop Kentucky's ass. Like, everybody is confident going into this football game. I love those type of games. No one knows who in the hell is going to win and who's going to emerge as a player here. I don't really have confidence in Kentucky for whatever reason. I'm just wondering if I'm alone there.
No. But again, there are moments, you know, that big pass with Berrien.
Yeah.
You know, that was keys. I mean, they've got some athletes and they got some playmakers. And it's just, and it seems like it's always like the last 4 weeks, there's one of those guys flashing.
Mm-hmm.
Not all four. If they could all get on the same page, buddy, watch out. Kentucky Kentucky's going to win whoever they play against, but they've not done it yet. And I think that's why we're frustrated, because the pieces are there.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the kick returns? You know, you got Brown, one of the most electric people. I'm not seeing kick returns. He's not even back there for punts. I don't know what happened there. I'm sure, you know, Kentucky, diehard Kentucky fans know, but it's just, why we're not getting our guys in space.
Right.
You know, we're not giving them opportunities.
Everything just looks disjointed to me.
Yeah, like they're not, like they're studying the playbook on the way to the game or something, you know. they got six plays memorized, and they're looking at their hand saying, okay, I got to go up here in 15 and out or whatever. We're just not complete. We haven't put a complete game together, and thank God you had four cupcakes, because if you had South Carolina's schedule right now, buddy, you'd probably be 1-3, you know. But the play time's over, you know. All the cupcakes are gone. Florida's going to be bringing it, even though they had a nasty game. We'll get to them here in a second. But, again, it's time to put up or shut up.
Yep. All right, Shane, how about this one? First non-SEC game, but this was a big one. Missouri beat the Memphis Tigers 34-27. Let Brady cook. They came right out. I loved it. Well, two things. They did the fake onside. Unfortunately, they didn't get it because there was someone offside or whatever.
Mevis Ball tweet was going to take off, too, you know.
I love that aggressiveness.
Yeah.
Because that, after the big win, you're worried about a drop-off. You're worried about, you know, reading your press clippings with a challenge coming into this game. And I like that from Drink, to keep his team engaged, keep the energy up. And then even though they didn't get that first possession, what was it, a 60-something yard bomb, they nailed it. Let Brady cook. I know you're all over Brady cook. 18 of 25, 341 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
Luther Burden, my man, 10 catches, 177 yards. And Cody Schrader, who leads the SEC in rushing right now, that's crazy, 123 and a touchdown. Memphis, I didn't realize how good was. They're a good team.
Yeah.
And Missouri, for the most part, I thought dominated them.
Yeah, no, it was great. But I will say this: I've never been as dialed into Mizzou as I have been this year. Got a lot riding on them guys. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Damn, that is the most stressful four victories I've ever been through. You know what I'm saying? It's like, what are we doing? I figured maybe we're trying to pad Luther's stats and letting Memphis stay in this thing, but this was another game that you just couldn't quite not watch. You know, I was telling you about the Arkansas, me going back and forth, but it's this Mizzou one that kept bringing me back. I'm like, how the hell are these guys still hanging in there? So a little frustrating, but I am very excited about the offense because it's starting to balance out a little bit. You mentioned Schrader.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Luther getting hurt scared us a little bit, but
and that's just cramps, by the way. So
yeah,
he's good.
Yeah.
He's good.
Well, that's what I'm like. I'm watching. I'm like, what are they doing to him? You know. So I said, it looks like cramps. So, but it is funny because the commentator made a comment after on the play got hurt. You know that, how is he? Why? And you ask yourself that. I ask myself that every week. How the hell is number three running around freely, you know? And kudos to this whoever's calling it. Some people are still think it's Eli's baby, but they're still getting him in positions to be the most dynamic player in the country. So, yeah, Mizzou's looking good. Brady's looking good. Defense, this was not their best. This was not their best game, but they did just enough to stay in there.
They're calling you Big Orange Tiger. But these fans, Shane, they're so fired up. They want LSU.
Yeah.
That's hopefully the team's not doing that because they got to go through Vanderbilt. And again, I know Vanderbilt's not looking too great, but hell, maybe they're awesome.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm downgrading Kentucky. And they just gave him. Of course, they had multiple pick sixes, so I don't know how great they are. But that would be the most disappointing thing, to drop at Vanderbilt game, heading into this this big LSU one in 2 weeks. So they dominated the rushing, 210 to 101.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you beat a team. That's what you should do when you're playing a Memphis. When an SEC plays Memphis, you dominate them on the line of scrimmage by over 100 yards, and that's, you're going to beat every team that you do that to. So taking care of business in a tricky spot. This was a big trap game.
Yeah.
They took care of business.
Not at home. I mean, it was in St. Louis.
Yeah.
Zoo at the Lou, they called it, which I thought was clever. Didn't get that until the very end. But it was a big win for Missouri, and they still got one more to get to LSU. And I think that's the key.
Yep.
Can't overlook anybody. You almost overlooked Memphis. And
right.
you didn't just destroy them. You beat them. So same thing can happen next week. And Vanderbilt's still looking for their signature. And but good news is, the recipe's out there. Just keep AJ Swan on his back, and you'll end up winning that game. So pressure defense needs to step up. A little disappointed with this week.
Well, Chase just threw us $10. Appreciate you, Chase. Mizzou's defense better than that. Could have shut them down if healthy.
Yeah, for sure.
Rakestraw didn't play. Two other starters didn't play. Secondary thin. So that needs to be said. Okay. I know you've been dying to talk Tennessee, Shane, and where your thoughts are with them. 45-14 over UTSA in Neyland Stadium. Joe Milton, red hot. Shane, opens the game, 81-yard touchdown run.
Mm-hmm.
Longest run by a Tennessee quarterback in the program's history. I couldn't believe that when I saw that, but that was a hell of a run. Dylan Sampson, 11 carries, 139 yards, two touchdowns. He was a beast. Tennessee won this game because of the rushing attack.
Yeah.
312 rushing yards, 9.2 yards per carry. You can win every damn game at 9.2. UTSA, 115 rushing. But Joe Milton got banged up, and it affected him.
Let's call it what it
is. I mean, he looked like a Heisman contender, and then he looked like he should be benched. So I don't know what the hell to make of him heading into this big South Carolina game.
Well, obviously, the run caught me off guard. You know, we've not seen that from Joe all year long. And that's something that we talked about, why this offense isn't as productive as it was last year. You know, Hendon Hooker was a great quarterback. Not only just a natural playmaker and, you know, able to pick up on defenses and find the open receiver.
Yeah.
But he also had that switch, that light bulb that came on and says, hey, I got to tuck and run. Joe hasn't had that. Mm-hmm. And still not so. I mean, you talk about the 81 yards, you know, but after that, he only got 8 more yards rushing. So it wasn't like he just – I mean, I'm not taking away 81 yards. I haven't ran 81 yards since the 80s. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not saying that that's not a feat in itself.
Right.
But what I am saying is to make – once he did that, it opened up the offense and gave Tennessee opportunities to be the Tennessee of old. And we got to see flashes of it this first half. Yes, they were dialed in. They looked good. They looked the part. It was good to see Sampson finally get back out there because he's freaking awesome. And, you know, that's what Tennessee has. They have a multitude of running backs, and they could play that hot hand, and they're going to continue to do that. Now, what I am worried about, Mike, is third down still. You know, we got a backup quarterback comes in and damn near looked perfect.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
They probably should have started that guy.
Oh, buddy. Thank God they didn't figure that out the first half. You know what I'm saying? But again, that's where the Vols were, is keeping this defense on the field the entire time, and they wore down. Joe was clearly hurt, and I question why we kept him in. Now, I get it. Maybe coach doesn't want quarterback controversy. Maybe he doesn't have the confidence in Nico or whatever. I don't know what it is. But it seems like that was an opportunity. You're up multiple scores to get the guy in there and see what we got to work with. But, you know, he chose the other path and damn near caught us. I don't want to say cost us the game, but it did make it a little bit more stressful in the second half.
Yeah. Well, I mean, all the mentions, Shane, they're just South Carolina and Tennessee fans going at it.
Oh,
and they're already talking
already.
Shit and all this. It's pretty cute how they're going back and forth. You know what I mean?
Oh, it's not going to be cute Saturday, man. There's going to be one really butthurt fan base, and because both teams are expecting to win.
But what's your thoughts, Shane? Because Milton, he nailed a deep shot to Ramel Keaton. I mean, that was beautiful. I think Heupel, I can't remember who it was to, but he designed a play. It looked like it would have been a 60, 70-yard touchdown, but he overthrew it.
Squirrel? Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, across the middle of the field.
I mean,
there was
overthrows. I mean, I think the plan against Tennessee is just...
Oh, wait, that was the behind. Yeah, I mean,
you got to force... They're forcing Milton to dink and dunk down the field.
Yeah.
Because they know sooner or later he's going to be inaccurate.
Mm-hmm.
They're, and again, I mean, I think this is just the story of what Tennessee is going to be this year, is Joe Milton's going to have to do some things that he's not comfortable doing because, I mean, unless Tennessee can rush for 300 yards a game, and they sure as hell couldn't do it against Florida, they're not going to be able to do it against Georgia, probably not going to be able to do it against A&M. You know what I mean?
Kentucky. The problem I have with, I guess you would say, the route tree.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we're all in on these bubble screens, and damn, almost caught us once. You know, UTSA, right. I mean, they were like a second away from walking in easily for an interception for a touchdown. It's like you can't do that. They're going to start teeing off. I don't understand why slants don't work, why 15-yard routes don't work. It doesn't have to be a 50-yard bomb. Like, is there no happy medium here? You know, it seems like when we did that, we did a little bit of it with Florida as we're trying to get in with Brew McCoy, and it's like, oh, yeah, okay, that route exists in this tree, you know? So
right.
I question some of the throwing. I question some of the play calling. But, you know, again, I don't question the head coach. I think Josh is doing the best he can with what he has to work with. And he's playing to Milton strong. So he's playing to this offensive. They got to be quick. If not, they're going to get killed, you know, because this offensive line still is, you know, garbage at times. So even though they average 9 yards, but a little skewed because of the 81-yard run right out of the gate. But still, kudos to the running backs. It was just nice seeing Sampson get going too.
Yeah. All right, how about this one, Shane? Georgia blew up UAB 49-21. Carson Beck's best day as a dog, 22 of 32, 337 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks. And Brock Bowers, we got him rolling. 9 catches, 120 yards, 2 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. This is the Brock Bowers we thought he was. of course, he's been dealing with injuries. But how about this, Shane? From the second quarter to the end of the third, Georgia had 5 drives.
Yeah.
Scored a touchdown on every one of them.
Yeah.
That's the dogs we thought we were getting. 193 rush yards for Georgia, only allowed 94. Just a dominating performance. And they said after the game, mm-hmm. the defense, they said, oh, that's about our C-plus performance, because they did give up 21, but this was the best offense I thought we saw from the Georgia Bulldogs so far this season, and they play like this. Hell, if they score 20 points every game,
yeah,
they're probably going to win, because ain't nobody going to score many on the dogs. You know?
Slowly but surely, this team's figuring it out, Mike. Slowly but surely, they're reminding everybody why they're a national championship contender,
yeah,
which is okay. They can afford to go a little slower than most teams because their bad performances, they can correct usually at halftime with a good adjustment. So I'm not worried at all. I don't think we learned that much about this game, just right. that Trent probably moved down his SEC love for, you know, for stadiums, probably down yep. a few notches back behind the Super Bowl now. But all in all, I love the balance that we're starting to see here. You know, it was a little bit top heavy when Georgia started the season. We're starting to see a little bit more of that balance, getting some playmakers. And I don't know if that's health. You know, you mentioned Bowers having a hell of a game. You know, this is a team that is as bad as it's going to be right now. When these dudes start showing back up to work, you know, you talk about being in trouble. So, yeah, be patient, Bulldog fan. Well, don't even be patient. You just kick their ass. So you're going to continue to do that. Great game by Beck especially.
Yeah. All right, last one here, Shane. Florida, ugly, but you got the win, 22-7. Mm-hmm. They look like Tennessee, Florida in the first quarter. Yeah. They look like Utah, Florida in the second. I mean, it was a tale of two different teams. It looked like Graham Mertz, though, 20 of 23.
Yeah.
Very efficient. 259 and a touchdown. Ricky Pearsall, 6 catches, 104. He had the best catch I ever seen him season. I mean, he was just incredible. But again, I think they were kind of sleepwalking after the big win. Now they got another one coming up with Kentucky. I mean, this was a perfect trap game. They could have just rolled the ball out and beaten Charlotte, and it kind of looked like they knew it a little after the first quarter or so. You know what?
Yeah, if you like field goals, this was your game, Mike. You know what I'm saying? 5 for 5. I mean, kudos to – I mean, how many times are you going to give kicker some love, you know?
I think
that was good. But other than that, you're right. This was just show up to work. It was ugly. I'm not going to lie. The thing that drove me nuts, we knew there'd be a little bit of a letdown. For Florida to be so efficient the week earlier in third downs and then walk away like 1 of 9 in this game, and Carolina was not better. I think collectively, I think there was 4 out of 15 or 4 out of 16. It was an ugly game.
Yeah,
but they got the win, and that's key, because Florida last year would have lost this one, you know, coming off a big victory. So, again, it shows progression. It shows that Florida's moving in the right direction, because they've got a massive game coming up this Saturday.
It may very well define their season.
Yeah.
Because if they can't beat Kentucky.
Yeah.
Kentucky's a good team. They're undefeated. It's on the road. I mean, it ain't going to be easy.
Mm-mm.
But if they can't beat them, there's several more difficult games, I feel like.
And it's funny. Kentucky's undefeated. You know, Kentucky Wildcats, they feel like they're going to win this game. But this game is going to, like, I think people forget. If Florida loses to Kentucky, they forget about the Tennessee win. It doesn't matter anymore,
right?
Because you lost to Kentucky. And if Kentucky wins, I think it cements the fact that they're undefeated, that they are truly a team that has potential to make it to an SEC championship. Say what you want. They got, as long as they beat Georgia, they could still lose to Alabama. It doesn't matter. They could still make it to an SEC championship.
Right. And did you see what, what's his name? Travis Etienne, Trevor's older brother.
Yeah.
They go to Clemson. I don't learn their names that well. So, but you see what he tweeted out this week? Because he was the one during the Utah game.
Yeah.
Where he was like,
yeah, go to Deion.
Deion will give you the ball. He said, because Trevor Etienne still, he didn't get very many carries in this one.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm just going to keep my thoughts to myself on this one. So basically calling out Billy again. I don't know what's up with that, but I thought that was pretty unique there.
Well, I just think it's funny. It's the whole Deion thing. We've not messed with it. And Dan Lanning. he said enough, you know. He said enough for everybody, and I will say, similar to the Lane Kiffin situation, you make your bed, you sleep in it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You build yourself up through media. Well, when it doesn't play out in the field, don't be mad when the media gets on you, because you created it. So, I'm not shitting on anything Colorado's done. I mean, we're talking about them still. You know what I'm saying? I got guys that I work with. They'll ask me. They didn't ask me this week. Did I see the Colorado game? You know what I'm saying? But that's like the only game they watch, and so they're doing the right thing. But yeah, Colorado, buddy, they got totally waxed this week, didn't they?
Oh yeah. Well, I'm curious to know who you think is going to get waxed this week, Shane, on the point spreads. Last thing, opening lines are out, and man, we got some great games this weekend in the SEC. So South Carolina at Tennessee, guess the opening line.
Tennessee, 3. 11. Oh. You can show where I'm at and where Vegas is. Do you think that changes? Because, I mean, obviously people are talking about Milton possibly being banged up. If he's not starting, where would you put that spread?
If he's, like, if they say he's out?
Yeah.
South Carolina by 3.
So think about that. If you were going to bet on this game, there's that little side piece that you're just like, hey, there's a shot that Tennessee's going to be without a quarterback. So
how about Florida at Kentucky?
Florida at Kentucky. Give me Florida 3.5.
See, I thought that too. Kentucky favored by 3.
Oh, see, look.
Maybe we just don't know what the hell we're talking about.
Why do we hate Kentucky so bad, man? They're undefeated. They're like, what else do we have to do, guys?
Alabama.
You win 5, we'll get behind you. You know?
Alabama at Mississippi State.
Alabama 16.
14.
Okay. All right.
Georgia.
Think about that, though. Uh-huh. Only a 2-score favorite.
That's interesting.
That is.
They beat them like 15, 16 in a row. Georgia at Auburn. What you got for that?
Georgia 22.
14. Ooh, I don't get that either. Did they not watch Auburn this week?
Auburn, that keep away game, man. You know what I'm saying? I love it, though. I love close scores like this. It's another, could be a hell of another week, you know?
And this one, especially, Shane, LSU at Ole Miss. I think it's got sneaky potential to potentially be the best game of the weekend. Not convinced of that, but I think it could be. Opening line for this, LSU at Ole Miss.
Well, you make me curious because I would give LSU 11.5.
3.
Shit.
So something's brewing down there, you know?
Damn, I'm never this bad. Yeah.
How about your Missouri Tigers at Vanderbilt?
Mizzou. 35. Nah, come on. What the big orange tiger? Let's go Mizzou 20.
12. Yeah. Even that's interesting.
Man, we're just gonna have us a hell of a we're gonna have a weekend, son.
Yep. And then the last one here, Shane. This is always a great game.
Yeah.
A&M, Arkansas, in Arlington. I believe this will be the last one they do in Jerry World, thank God.
Thank God.
They're going back and forth after this, hopefully. Not official, but that's the plan. A&M, Arkansas, what's the spread?
Because I've been way off, I'm going to go low on this one. A&M, 3.5.
About nailed it, 4.
Okay. But think about that. Vegas thinks that there's not one. I mean, you know what I'm saying? A couple of score games. It's going to come down to the wire, man.
I can't wait.
I love it.
You know, this is the best time of the year when it's all SEC going head-to-head.
Damn, it's so late. We're probably not even making sense. We think we're making sense. You're already on them gummies, ain't you?
Well, buddy, I think that's a perfect place to cut it. So I appreciate each and every one of you for hanging out. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right, see you guys. Go Vols.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.